The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The buffet that we used to frequent and go through when I was a college student was the buffet at Sizzler.
What happened to you yesterday?
I got mugged.
You got mugged?
Mugged? Well, I wouldn't have minded it so much, but I was running home to go to the bathroom.
Is Sizzler still a thing?
Not here.
I haven't seen a Sizzler.
Not here.
God, it was a boy.
That was like a big deal when we got to go to the Sizzler buffet. Ooh, watch out.
Well, why didn't you use the bathroom in the building?
It was full. And I tried a few other places, you know, but that didn't work. I mean, it was an emergency, Jerry. I was really percolating.
We need to do a show, all of us together, from a Sizzler, and we can eat the buffet all day long as we broadcast to you.
I don't need to be.
ESPN Milwaukee 94.5.
I don't need to be crapping through a screen door. All right.
But now I got a big problem, buddy.
What is it?
Well, I waited so long, I missed my chance.
You didn't go?
No, and now I can't get it back.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it.
I'm talked about this yesterday a little bit. It's gonna take a few segments for me to get the old voice warmed up.
Smoke.
Well, maybe if you went to get rid of your big old water thing, you could just be chugging water.
I got hot water here, hot water with honey. Do you know? You know, yesterday was Coach Corso's birthday. He turned 90 years old. A lot of love for him on social media and whatnot, and we will of course celebrate him the first week of the season in Columbus with College Game Day. But before he goes on television every weekend, he does vocal warm-ups.
It's, like he's singing in the back?
It's like...
Or is he doing Anchorman stuff?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it because... No, yeah, it's not Anchorman stuff.
The arsonist had ugly shaped feet.
How now, brown cow? It's more of like...
Like he's getting ready for the opera?
I sing on the way here.
Just to get your voice warmed up or just for fun?
No, just for fun.
No.
You're not thinking about warming up your voice.
Yes.
I don't believe that
for
2 seconds.
If you do that, then my voice is deeper. I didn't sing on the way in. I'd be talking like this.
Whenever your voice goes deep, it reminds me of when you used to do the Robert Goulet thing.
Which isn't Robert Goulet.
No.
It's Will Ferrell doing Robert Goulet. It's an impression of an impression.
Which, by the way, is how I always think of Harry Carey, even though having grown up watched the Cubs.
Yeah.
Whenever I do a Harry Carey impersonation, it is...
Will Ferrell.
Doing Harry Carey.
Well, coming from a musical
it's a simple question.
Family.
If the moon were made of cheese, would you eat it?
They don't drink if they have a show over the weekend.
Sure.
So I don't want to hang out with them. No fun, basically. What?
Besides
not fair.
Wait, that's the only way you can have fun is if you're drinking?
Hey, get a little loosey-goosey, especially like... The Blammer, very loose yesterday.
I feel like the Blammer's loose without the alcohol.
He's quite boring.
He's a character still, though.
Yeah,
he doesn't have a lot going on in his life.
Corn's coming. Gabe's getting a little antsy here with the corn.
Well, I was just asking questions today.
Which was what?
Have you had any of the corn? Is it good?
That's kind of like, when is it coming? I want some. Oh. That's how I translate that.
No, really? I was literally just asking a question.
You've really been burned by people, haven't you?
Yeah.
Like the fact that he can ask a somewhat innocuous question and you're like, ease off, okay? I'll get you the corn when I get you the corn.
Yes.
So I was thinking about voices this morning and I was thinking about our buddy over on KBN, Brad Nortman, who I did not know until yesterday, had vocal cord surgery, like a procedure. He had polyps on his vocal cords, and he has been instructed, that he cannot speak for a week. No talky-talky.
That's kind of tough to do when you're on the radio.
Well, you think he's just coming in here, sitting in this chair, and just staring silently at Brust and Kyle
Let him
for
cook.
3 hours?
He's going to be off, Chew.
No, but I got guys in the gym that sign.
Yeah, because they're deaf.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can't do that on the radio.
Yeah, you can.
You got YouTube right there.
Oh, but only if they're watching YouTube.
If you have a translator.
Okay.
What do you... So what, we're going to hire someone to sit here for Brad. So Brad's going to learn sign language. And then...
Please
you
keep
wanted to make it happen.
Please keep going through everything that would be required to make this harebrained plan work.
So you would have to, first of all, learn American Sign Language.
I'm a deducer, okay?
Second of all, then we would have to hire somebody who can also translate American Sign Language.
You're full deducer.
Into just actual English, and then hire that person to be on the air for Brad.
Or, hear me out, he takes the week off.
Yeah, they've got three of them on the show, man.
Yeah, that's fair.
One of them's off. It's not the end of the world.
So I know where you're going with this.
Where?
Yeah, I could. If I could talk to myself.
No chance.
Yes.
Can't talk at all.
No, if I could talk to myself, I don't need to talk to anybody all week long.
But are you talking out loud or are you having inner monologue?
No, out loud.
You can't talk. You would do more damage to your repaired vocal cords if you spoke. That is why he cannot speak for a week. There's zero chance. You'd want to make a crass joke. You'd want to do a that's what she said or something like that. And you'd be fighting so bad, you'd ruin your vocal cords again.
I'm just saying from the standpoint, I really don't need to talk to anybody.
You talk to your wife every day.
Not a lot, though. I won't see her. Like, if this was a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, she'd get home at 7:30. I'd stay up to 8, half hour, bada boom, bada bing, I'm in bed.
Is she traveling? Is that why she's
No, gone? she just works
late. Okay. All right. Gabe, do you think you could do it? 1 week?
Standing on my head.
What?
You're Easy. Crazy.
Easy.
You're insane.
Our Easy. Radio guy, our guy who does like 16 radio shows a week,
obviously,
is all of a sudden going to just not talk?
Yeah, it'd be easy. As we were talking about this, can he like not laugh?
No, nothing.
So nothing.
No.
I feel like you got to make sure you're just watching serious stuff on the television. Right? Because you got to sit there, you got to pass the time somehow. You got to either read a serious book that's not going to make you chuckle, no Happy Gilmore 2, nothing like that, nothing but serious, maybe just serious documentaries.
He's an athlete light, though, so it's different for athletes, like when they say hamstring. All right, most people, you have a hamstring, you're out 6 to 8. Athletes should be back in 3. That's all I'm saying.
Do you think vocal cords
heal faster?
Are part of the athletic gift?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to go in a totally different direction.
No, I just think you heal
faster. He's an athlete light, his words, not mine. Therefore, he has built-in discipline that maybe the average person, am I helping you out here?
Yeah.
That the average person doesn't have, and therefore, he is more likely to be able to do it than the average person.
Correct. Like, there's a difference when an athlete goes in and gets a shoulder done as opposed to a NARP.
Yeah, you know what the biggest difference is?
What?
The training staff that you have to help you after the surgery.
Nah, I think it's
the
a mindset.
The NARP is going home, and they don't have the luxury of that, so yes, it's going to take longer. You've got people who are taking care of that shoulder, who are going to be giving you different things that the NARP doesn't have access to, different workouts that the NARP doesn't have access to, that's going to get you back bigger, faster, stronger versus the NARP.
I don't know if I agree with that, but I'm too tired to... fight you on that, so you win.
7:09, Chewy's checked out. I got at least.
Blammer did a number on you last night.
No,
huh?
A little bit.
A couple extra bottles of wine with the Blammer.
God, is he a mooch? He doesn't even ask if there's leftovers in the fridge now. He just goes and takes them.
That's definitely a faux pas.
Not
you
for
can't
the Blammer.
Walk into someone else's home.
This is
open up the refrigerator and start pillaging
but
leftovers.
Hold on.
This is the standard that you've set in the relationship.
He did bring me peaches. Does that change your mindset?
Do you like peaches?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that helps to know. As I'm evaluating the gesture.
Look, if Jen or I were to bring you peaches,
yes,
we're not going to have free reign over your refrigerator. We wouldn't even think to look in your refrigerator because we're just bringing you peaches.
But is it fair
However,
for the Blammer?
For the Blammer,
yes.
Who you have established is very big on the barter system.
Huge.
The second he brings you peaches,
yes.
He's now looking for what he is getting in exchange for the aforementioned peaches.
Yes.
So the relationship that you have set up with your neighbor, the Blammer,
yes.
This seems like pretty typical behavior.
So he took leftover quesadillas in a bag of poison. That's what he took yesterday.
What do you mean a bag? Why is there poison in your refrigerator?
Because he has mice that go into his huge barn.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of equipment in there.
Uh-huh. Still following.
And the mice will come bed in the equipment when it starts getting cold.
All right, so we've established why he needs the poison.
Yes.
That wasn't Jen's question.
Did you have poison in your refrigerator?
Not in my refrigerator.
Oh, no. It's such an absurd inquiry by me. You just told us he pillaged your refrigerator, and you said he took some quesadillas and some poison.
On the way out the door, there were two bags because I need it for my house because of my field. When it gets cold, the voles and the mice will try to come into the house for the wintertime. Can't have that.
Well, so, it ain't going to be getting cold anytime soon, pal. Going to be hot for the next week.
Yeah, no, I know that, but I'm proactive. So I'm all about being proactive.
I also love that you're like the Blammer's Home Depot.
I am.
Like, everyone else would just go to the hardware store and pick up their own poison.
Nah.
But
Blammer's thinking, hey, I got peaches. I bet Chew's got poison.
No, because the peaches were for the quesadillas. This is for the corn.
Oh,
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were making peaches quesadillas, and I was like, well, you lost it now.
Sounds pretty good.
Peach quesadillas?
Yeah.
Like a dessert quesadilla?
The peaches were for the quesadilla, and the poison is for the corn is not a sentence I was expecting to hear this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Could I go
Thursday?
A week without talking? Me.
No.
Jen.
No, you have kids.
Yeah, I was about to say, the children having part.
Yeah.
Playing a part in your life is the tough part. Like, honestly, for Brad, like, that's got to be the hardest part with the kids. Has to be the hardest part, which is why I think I could do it easily. Same thing, same reason Chewy could do it, I think, a lot easier.
Yeah.
The house is pretty empty.
Yeah.
I'd have to do a lot of this.
Yeah, but eventually you'd explode. Eventually you would explode, right?
I wonder if this is worth trying.
Who would you yell at first?
Dario.
Yeah, I was about to. Okay, all right. Never mind. Didn't even have to finish the question.
No, didn't even have to. Barely got the word first out, and I was like, husband.
All right.
I don't know what for, but just, you know.
Yeah, well, exactly. But
something.
Husband before the children.
Husband before the kids.
Yeah.
Will, do you think that you could go one full week without talking? Since you haven't contributed anything audibly this morning, I'm starting to think maybe this wouldn't be so tough.
If I didn't have to go to work, yes, easily. I could just hole up in my apartment, big movie guy, just watch movies all day. I could do it easily.
Like, what do you do tonight?
Tonight?
Yeah.
I have a wedding tomorrow, so getting ready for that, buying like a card and all that stuff, grocery shopping. Like, I don't have to talk to anybody when I do that.
What do you have to get ready for a wedding for?
Get like my attire ready.
Are you gonna lay that out tonight?
Yeah.
I mean, getting the card, sure, but that takes all in.
Why,
are you in 4 minutes?
Are you anticipating a big night at the wedding?
Yeah.
Who's getting married?
One of my buddies I played college baseball with.
Hot chicks there or what?
I don't know. I didn't grow up in his hometown, hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Do you have a girlfriend?
No. Do you think I would have said that if I had a
girlfriend? Whoa.
Are you batching?
I'm batching.
All right.
Are you, Will gets a girlfriend, are you going to take credit for that because he's single now?
I think he won't get a girlfriend because he's got to work with me. And he's afraid what's to follow.
All the questions?
Because I'm not real good at keeping things quiet when it comes to that.
Oh, really?
I've taken down two already.
Two, is that all? We've been on the air for 5 years. There's no chance that
Ashton,
number's that low.
Yeah.
And Ben. Remember, I wasn't supposed to say your name?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about
Couldn't
the Ben
remember
part.
If I wasn't or yeah. I was.
It's always the problem. It's always that you're not. It always is that you're not supposed to say
and it's,
the name.
And it's funny how you always like default to, I guess I'm supposed to say the name.
Well, you know
your,
what?
Your default
you know
setting
why?
Is always opposite. You're like George.
It's basically out of spite. Because I know all of you withhold stuff from me. That I know.
What in
and
the
I've
world
always,
would we possibly
I've always
be
believed
withholding?
That you guys have your own little text chain without me.
I mean, you can search my phone.
All There's, of our phones.
Yeah, take it. What on earth could I possibly be hiding from you?
Even if one of us was better at covering said tracks than the others, if you looked at all of our phones, there would be no text chain without Chew. Although you started a text chain
I know, I did.
Without
well,
Ashton.
Why is he in? He's not our boss anymore. He's gone. He's dead to me. Like, why is he still on it? I get it because you probably have on your text chain, it goes back 5 years. Am I right?
Oh, it goes back a while?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because this one has Joshy. So what, Joshy's been with us for 2 years? So however long it goes back with Joshy.
My text chain goes back 3 days.
Because
I delete it.
Yes.
Because it clogs your phone up. Don't tell me it doesn't clog your phone up.
What on earth could you possibly have on your phone that the text messages are slowing it down?
Correct. I've got 35,000 photographs on my phone. You know what? Working like a charm.
You have four apps.
You know what I just figured out, though? You can recover deleted email or text. Did you know that?
From the cloud, I assume?
I don't know. I don't know what the cloud is.
So you really didn't figure it out, did you?
I thought you figured it out.
Didn't figure it out.
You hit the edit button and it says recently deleted text.
Yeah, recently. Yes, that's not
shocking.
You
knew that?
I did not know that, but it's not shocking. You can recover recently deleted text.
Ryan weighing in on the YouTube stream. Remember, you can always catch the show on the YouTube stream. ESPN Milwaukee says dry erase board. And I assume he means as a mode of communication if you're not allowed to talk. That would be,
yeah.
So you tie it around your neck with a couple of shoestrings, right? And you use that and you can
just put hungry.
Communicate that way. Move.
Well, you get the thing the brilliant guy has. I don't know what that is. Who's the brilliant guy?
He's talking about Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
I knew it, but I wanted him to work his way through it.
He wasn't going to, and we got to get to Jason.
The brilliant guy. That's like a computerized voice. Not only is he brilliant, I'm fairly certain he's very wealthy, so he has access to things like that.
I think the brilliance kind of helped out with the with the wealth part.
It's tough to say in 2025. Brilliance doesn't seem to be getting people along very far. All right, we've got Jason Wilde coming up. Family night. Whoa. The Packers preseason starts tomorrow. We want to know about position battles. We want to know about how much he thinks the guys are going to play. Did you watch any of the preseason action last night? Were you inspired at all by how some of those teams chose to handle their starters? We'll get into all of that with Jason Wilde right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
Always great to get some insight from our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Great, everybody. How are you?
Good, good, good. Working through the voice thing, but could be worse.
I was going to say, you sound like you're calling golf.
Could be worse. Could be. Oh, because I'm like talking down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the par five. Mm. Could be worse. We could be Brad Nortman, who cannot speak for a week, I believe it is, after having vocal cord surgery. So let's get into the preseason beginning, getting underway tomorrow. We watched last night as some of the other teams that were playing had very different approaches to playing their starters or not. We already know that the Packers' starters are going to play. What do you think is the philosophy behind that for the Green Bay Packers?
So I'm generally a fan of data, right? Now, I'm not sure that all of the analytics and everything that people claim as predictive through those analytics is actually predictive. But Matt LaFleur, who was a little, let's be honest, light on the details yesterday, told us that he has, quote, real data from the NFL that will tell you, and I'm quoting now, according to the league's medical people and performance people, if you get X amount of reps in preseason, you're however many times less likely to get injured within the first 4 to 5 weeks of the regular season. Now, I don't think that's the only reason he plans on playing as starters, what I believe will be one series on each side of the ball. But that he did trot that information out there. Now, the skeptics among us would say that data from the league that would indicate that your best players should, in fact, play in the preseason, so maybe people will watch those games and attend those games. Maybe it's a, I don't know how independent those numbers are. I also would like to point out that that does not have any data in terms of how many players suffer injuries in preseason that end their season. That's only if you play these snaps and then you get to the regular season, then you're this much less likely, and I don't know how they – it seems like fuzzy math to me. But we already know that Xavier McKinney, who talked to us yesterday and told us about his calf injury, is not going to play not only Saturday, but probably not going to play the rest of the preseason. He did not seem overly, like, panicked about this. He vowed that he would be ready for the start of the regular season. So I don't think this is something that we need to be frightened by, but it is something to monitor. So, you know, again, I'm the bubble wrap guy. I am Ted Thompson all the way on this, and Ted Thompson never liked playing guys in preseason, which is amazing considering the era of football he played with the Oilers. And then we went to Pittsburgh. I remember riding in a cab across the bridge, panicking that I wasn't going to be at Heinz Field in time for kickoff because my flight had been canceled the day before, and I flew in day of the game, and I arrived just as they were singing the national anthem, and then shortly thereafter, we watched the entire 2015 season come crumbling down when Jordy Nelson, coming off of a Pro Bowl season in which he caught 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns, blew out his ACL in a meaningless preseason game, and they were cooked for that season.
Jason, do they condition?
Like, condition when we're around? Like, you guys,
no, I mean,
running, watch you run the gassers?
Yeah, at the end of practice, are they doing, you know, 10 100s or something like that? Because that's all part of it. You know, part of, you know, the tough training camp and playing in these games. Because practice, I would say, if you're going, and I don't know if they do it anymore, when I played, Jason, practice was probably 85 to 90%. In preseason games, right, it doesn't matter whether it's preseason. That is 100. That's 100. Uh-huh. And that conditions your muscles. So I'm just wondering, is he at the end of practice doing, all right, five gassers, get on the line?
No. No. What is this, 1993?
That's just weird to me.
So obviously they do strength and conditioning work at some point during the course of their day, right?
Yes.
To your point, though, and this is where I would say that kind of the old school mentality has merit, is that, you know, I would argue that the times when you are the most susceptible to injury and the thing that you're trying to prevent is when you're fatigued, right?
Yeah.
So if you go through and you bust your ass through practice and then you run five gassers, which are straight line running, right? You're not cutting.
Across
right.
the field.
So, so what I would say is that is, to me, and again, I'm not out there running gassers, so this is easy for me to say. But to me, that's the kind of stuff that, hey, how do you handle things? How do you perform? How do you get through it when you're dead tired, right? When it's the fourth quarter and you're sucking wind, that's the stuff that hardens you in hopes of making sure that you have a little left in reserve to be able to play at a high level and not get hurt. So I think you have a valid point. They don't do that. That is not what they do. So you can question whether or not, I'm sure they have data just like this stuff about, you know, not about playing in the preseason that indicate that the way they do their performance training is the smartest way to do
it. So the comp would be, Jason, pitchers in the MLB today, 30 years ago, they're going seven. Yeah, they're going much deeper. And now they go four or five innings and that's it. That's just,
yeah, I mean, you look at how guys, you know, I don't know how many complete games get thrown nowadays, but
not many.
When we were growing up, I mean, Mike Caldwell was pitching till his arm fell off.
Yeah.
Jason, with all the injuries now in the secondary, first we found out about Nate Hobbs earlier this week, now Xavier McKinney. They bring back Corey Ballantyne. How does that all affect Bo Melton? Because when they brought in Ballantyne, my initial thought was, okay, that probably hurts Bo making the initial 53 because he's not going to be caught up to the point where they're going to feel good about throwing him out there. And if there's an injury ahead of them, they need somebody else that they can trust. They obviously know they can trust Ballantyne from his previous time here. But then he's getting first-team reps yesterday, and again, I'm assuming that has to do with the injuries. Is he ahead of schedule? Where does he stand right now in terms of the injuries and his chance to make the 53?
Yeah, I think we're going to just start calling him Melton Island.
All right.
Look, is he anything remotely resembling a finished product as a corner? No. So even I, an admitted Bo Melton stan and lover of good stories, am not going to write that I'm actually sitting in the parking lot while Maddie runs at her high school working on that story. But Keyshawn Nixon didn't do team stuff yesterday. So it was Ballantyne and Melton with the ones. Now, again, do I think they want to go into the opener and trot Bo Melton out there to match up with Amon-Ra St. Brown? I do not. But I do think he is way ahead of schedule and way ahead of what they were hoping for. I think he has far exceeded their expectations and hopes at that position. Again, I have been of the mind, especially after what Bisaccia said a couple weeks ago, that the plan all along has been for him to make this team, and you can put, you know, backup long snapper next to his name if you have to, but they have to have somewhere to put him on the depth chart because flyer on special teams and kickoff coverage dude are not actual position names on a roster. But I think this has become more than that. Like I talking to a few people yesterday, including Bo, but look, this is a pivotal game for him. Like if they're going to start him, put him on Garrett Wilson. Let's go, right? Let's see what he does against one of the best in the league. And then you have, you know, 8 to 10 to 12 snaps of him playing, you know, not guys that are going to be working for UPS, but guys that are really good in the league. Again, he's going to get beat. He is not anywhere close to being a finished product, but he is way closer to being a corner than they expected him to be on August 8th.
Jason,
there's no denying that.
Do you think there was a backdoor deal? And what I mean by that, you remember Kyle Wacholtz, right?
Kyle Wacholtz, my favorite all-time quarterback. Yeah. Kyle, it's been said that you're not a very cerebral quarterback. How do you respond to that? What do you mean by cerebral?
So they moved him to tight end, and they guaranteed him. It was kind of a backdoor deal, guaranteed him a year on the practice squad, which they did.
Yeah,
and
he was
got
on the Holmgren. He was on the Holmgren scholarship. They both went to USC. They both played quarterback. So hey, let's give this guy a year of free tuition to Green Bay Packers University.
Do you think there was a deal with Melton saying, "Hey, we'll at least give you 1 year"? To move.
No, I don't think it's apples to apples on that, too, only because I believe, and again, I am not omniscient, so it's possible that I've been wrong about this, but I don't think I am, and Lord knows I'm wrong about plenty of stuff. I think they see him as a core special teams guy.
Okay.
And so they needed to find somewhere to put him, and if we're being honest, even though he had that 100-yard game in Minnesota in 23, even though he played, you know, I don't know, 300 snaps at wide receiver last year, something like that, they have too many wide receivers. And no matter how much you love Bo Melton, he's not among their best five wide receivers now that they drafted Golden. So that put him in a precarious spot figuring out where to keep him. And this puts him in a place where they can have him active on game day. Because, look, I say this with no disrespect to Isaiah Dunn or Kalen King or Micah Robinson or some of these other names. Like, we used to play a game on our show, like, when NASCAR had a race. Is this a NASCAR driver or a Steinhoffel's employee? To see if you knew NASCAR racing, right? Or is this a Brewers prospect or an Associated Bank staff member? If I played that game now, I've given it away now, but tell me what you know about Garnet Hollis Jr. or Tyron Herring or Kamal Haddon. You know who those guys are? Those guys are all corners on their roster. And they all have something else in common. None of them have ever played in a regular season NFL game. Isaiah Dunn has played 114 snaps with the Jets and with the Seahawks. But the point is that there's a bunch of guys that maybe they like their potential, but they're no, just because they've played the position longer in their lives than Bo Melton doesn't mean they're better than Bo Melton at this point. So I think they view him as a guy they can have up on game day and then cross their fingers that they don't have to play him 75 snaps on defense.
Jason, last thing before we let you go and get to Craig Karmazin. Give me three things that Packers fans should be paying attention to when the Packers take the field this weekend.
I would start with the quarterbacks. You know, I don't. My guy, Sean Clifford, needs to play well because I think, as you love to pronounce his name correctly, Taylor Elgersma, the Canadian import, I think they want to find a way to keep developing him. Like, they believe he's got a lot of arm talent, and I don't think they're going to trade Malik Willis to a quarterback-needy team. So I think Sean Clifford, but Matt LaFleur told us all four quarterbacks are going to play. So that's one. Two, I don't think that Lucas Van Ness has reached a point where he's going to be one of the guys that gets to come out after eight snaps. Maybe I'm wrong. But if he gets some opportunity, especially if the Jets keep their starting offensive line in there for more than a series, it's time for him to show that in a game he can be dominant because he's had some dominant moments in camp so far, and I think that is really important. And then the last part of it is, you know, for the Packers offensive line, Rashid Walker did return to practice with the groin injury. Now, I don't know if they're going to hold him out of the actual game or if they're going to let him go with the ones for the first series. But Jordan Morgan is going to play a lot. And I did not like what I saw from Jordan Morgan on Family Night. Again, fair to be fair to him, guy's been shuffled all over the place. He basically took a medical red shirt last year. The one game he did start was at guard, not at left tackle. But they need to see more from him, and he needs to start, you know, kind of ramping up. So even if he doesn't win the left tackle job, he's ready to go in as the sixth man on September 7th if somebody goes down in that game.
Valuable stuff. We appreciate the perspective, Jason. Talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Monday through Friday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Our conversations with Jason Wilde brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Why?
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Has any market been as consistent where they only have one team than Wisconsin? We know Chicago hasn't been.
No.
Fridays with Mo.
Yeah, but until you win a championship, you can't really say that. And they've had one championship.
Chewy, we're going to just create an AI. The AI, Chewy,
hold
can just
on.
Bring up championship. We don't even need Chewy.
They've had one championship.
What, it's going to be put like a hologram over
and
there?
What? Yeah.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Good morning, Craig Karmazin. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I see Joshy, Mr. Worried About the Brewers offense isn't here today.
Give me your top five hitters in the MLB.
Ooh.
That was a joke. That was a joke. Got a lot of heat for catching.
I thought you'd give me the top five NFL teams in the NFC South.
All right, good pop.
Get why that's funny?
Well, let's ask, yeah. I'm moving on.
Math.
But let's ask him the poll yesterday.
That's exactly what I was going to do. Look
well,
at
go
you.
Do it.
Look at you being
do
right
it.
On top
yeah.
of things, Chew.
Are
all
you
right.
worried that the Brewers might win too many games?
I don't know Chewy if they'll ever lose.
Chewy's worried they're going to win too many games.
Totally yes. Or yes, winning is bad in the regular season because you might not win in the postseason.
Here's the poll that Jim, Matt, and Molly posted yesterday. Would you give up 5 years of the Packers making the playoffs for the Brewers to win the World Series?
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's because you're a Browns fan. You don't count.
I'm actually more of a Bears fan, but yeah, that's true. But, I mean, again, let's enjoy the ride. I know you guys need to, like, find the sin always, but, like, can we just enjoy the ride? This is unbelievable. Watching these games every night is so fun. They run the bases. They play defense. They win. They beat the Dodgers all six games. They beat the Cubs. Like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what we've been saying.
Except kind of, because you got to be guarded a little bit.
Chewy's
don't
guarded. No! Chewy's protecting his heart. He has scar tissue. He told us about that, Red Hot Chili Peppers. But the problem is, this is the year we're saying that you got to put all of that, you got to ignore all of that, that past stuff, that when will the other shoe drop, the idea that they're going to break your heart, and you just got to go all in. You got to be willing to fall in love.
I think we fell in love last year. I think, Jen, that's not like this is this year. Like, that's what being a sports fan is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when did we lose that? Like, every year's the year to do that. That's like the nature of being a fan.
No. I mean, listen, I understand what you're saying about the philosophy of being a fan, but, like, sometimes the writing is on the wall, right? Sometimes you know early on that your team just doesn't have it. They can't cut the mustard. They won't be able to hang. So, yes, you still want to enjoy the ride, but you're not living and dying by every pitch. This is the year when the Brewers have shown.
That's what being a fan is. No, like, there's 30 teams or there's 32 teams, whatever league you're talking about, and like 3% of teams are going to win the championship. Like, you can't live your life, Chewy, like just being like, oh, if we don't win the championship, life is miserable. That means 3% of the time in a best case scenario, if you're a market that's equally resourced, you're going to not be miserable. Like, that's not a way to live.
But I'm not saying that you don't enjoy it, Craig. You certainly do enjoy it, but you enjoy it for what it is. Like I always say to people, you walk into a group, especially when you're a kid, and you start playing on the playground. Let's say you're playing tag. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're playing kickball, whatever it is. You can assess real quick who the athletes are, who the top players are, and where you fall in the hierarchy of that group. That's how being sports is, too. Like, you can assess real quick after, you know, midway through a season, where your team is and what your level of I don't want to say investment because you're invested either way, but, like, your level of we're going to win Jimmy Dugan is, right? Still enjoy it, of course, but if it's very obvious that you're going to be on the outside looking in, there's a different level of enjoyment. With this Brewers team, they have shown you at every turn that they are an elite team, that they can compete and beat the best teams in the league. And for that reason, I can't think of any other reason why you wouldn't be fully invested in every pitch.
Yeah, I mean, it's so fun. Like, you look at, like, the quantity of players on both sides, right? Like, there's 10 pitchers on this team with a WAR of one or more. They're, like, in the last, like, week, it's like every, like, I think I saw like 8 different Brewers have an OPS of 965 or better in the last week. Like, and that's with Churio and Miz out. Like, it's insane what's going on. And the idea that Chewy needs to come back to the championship or bust in life all the time.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, think about the Eagles, to go to your point, Jen. When the Eagles beat the Packers week one of the season, and I know the field was messy and all that, but the Eagles were coming off like a bad loss in the playoffs to the Buccaneers and were a sloppy mess. And, you know, the Packers hadn't converted on the early Jalen Hurts turnovers. And that's kind of why we saw it as the Packers didn't beat the Eagles. Like, the Eagles ended up winning the Super Bowl and being dominant in the Super Bowl over the Chiefs.
Yeah, but you,
like,
got to be a realist, though, Craig. Like, this year,
you
right?
Me and Gabe are in line. Last year,
me and Gabe.
You never would have said that the Eagles were going to blow out the other team in the Super Bowl when you saw them, well, even midway through the season. You wouldn't be like, oh, the Chiefs are going to run away with this thing, or the Eagles are going to run away with this thing. That's the beauty of sports.
I know, but me and Gabe are pretty much in line when it comes to the Packers. We were last year, and we even get a lot of whatever we get, tweets or text or whatever we get. I don't know what we get here. And there's a lot of Super Bowl or bust. That's not for me because, yes, can they win the Super Bowl? Sure, they can.
But the chances are, my expectation is NFC championship or bust. Anything after that is gravy.
See, and I look at it with this Packers team, because we've talked about how, like, how many teams in the NFC are pretty much just as good as the Packers. Like, hopefully be healthy enough and be good enough where you make the postseason and Jordan Love's playing well. Because if that happens, then they legitimately have a chance to do something. Like, that, I think that's what you hope for, right? You hope that you
win
enough
games. Well, you hope for it, because there's so much luck that has to be involved in order to win a Super Bowl. There just is.
Like, there's been two Super Bowls in the last 35 years, right? And one of them was a dominant one seed, and one of them was the last wild card spot. So I think we've proven over 35 years, you just got to get into the tournament and then.
No, I know, but I'm guarded. I'm guarded because what if right now, yes, they're not the favorites to win the World Series, but they are trending.
But they have the best.
I don't know if this
baseball
is sustainable, but what happens if they lose in the first round? Then you're crushed. Crushed.
But you're crushed anyway. That's what being a fan is. Like, the idea of, like, oh, I'm not going to enjoy the 162 games because I'm going to be sad if they lose. That's like the antithesis of what being a sports fan is. That's ridiculous.
I felt the highest high and the lowest low in the same game last year for the Brewers.
Me too. Yeah. I was there. Like, I was sitting there jumping up and down.
I could
Harper
not believe,
and I were
Craig,
talking about, like, grandma coming to the next games with us.
When Bowers hit that home run, I don't think I've ever heard AmFam louder. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
I don't
right,
know if I've
what
heard.
Being a fan is.
Exactly.
Like,
and then we got crushed.
Go there again.
And then we got crushed.
Next,
but who cares?
Next time the Brewers hit
no,
a home run,
I'm
sorry. Wait until there's 27 outs. I'm not going to get excited until there's 27 outs.
I'm sorry, but you know what I think of 50 times more when it comes to my career with the Packers? I think of the loss to Denver more than I think of the win to New England.
Right, and that's why.
And I don't want to feel that. I don't want to feel right, that. But, that's why I'm guarded as a fan now. I'm like, well, what
but
if...
But Chewy, that is human nature. You're going to always think that way. That is why you need to make sure you enjoy all the wins, not just the championship wins. You enjoy every single wins because the losses suck. Well, obviously, I can't identify with it as a player in the way you can, but the losses suck as a fan, right? Like, being there when that Pete Alonso, you know, Gabe, you said it, right? Bowers home run, Frelick home run. I never heard AmFam like it. And then you're there when the Pete Alonso home run happens. But, like, if you're going to feel that bad, which we all are naturally going to do when our team loses, then you've got to enjoy every win. There's no point of being a fan if you're not going to enjoy the ride.
I'm glad that you guys brought up luck, Craig, because it feels like year in and year out, maybe it's just baseball and the way that it's structured, but it feels like you need a little bit of luck in order to be a championship team. I think people have been saying that since the dawn of time. But the better your team is, the less reliant on luck you are. And you still need a little bit of luck, right? Like, it's always going to be an element to a championship. But I feel like this year with the Brewers, you're relying less on luck and getting a break here or there and more on, these guys are really dang good.
Mm-hmm.
I am in a position where when I'm watching, I'm going, they'll come back. They'll score the run. They'll get the out. Like, I'm operating from a place of optimism and almost certainty, which is crazy at this point, that this team is going to win the game and do whatever it takes to win the game, as opposed to, maybe there'll be a lucky break here or there and we'll stumble our way into a victory. Does that align with what you're seeing?
I mean, Jen, like, you're right. It feels like that. I mean, like, they've won 9 of their last 10, and, like, I don't even know if this is, like, the best baseball they've played all year, right? Like, that's how good it is. Like, there's probably, you know, you could look at around the Dodgers stretch and around that run. Like, it totally feels that way. But we can't think it's going to be like that in the postseason. In the postseason, every pitch is going to be angst. Like, that's the fun. And that's what I think we're missing, is that, like, the joy of the postseason is that you get to be there. And, like, you look at so many markets our size, so many teams, they are not consistently there every year. So I get it. There's pain in being a Brewers fan. There's pain in being a Wisconsin sports fan. But it's a privilege to get that pain. It's a privilege to have been, Gabe, in AmFam Field
and feel the highs and lows. Let me ask you this, Craig.
I think
Would you rather be 45-69 like the Washington Nationals and just be able to mail it in as a sports fan for the rest of the summer?
But I'm guarded from the standpoint of,
it's more painful to lose. The emotion of losing outweighs the emotion of winning. To me, it does. It's more painful, you know?
It's more painful to lose than euphoric than, to win.
Correct.
But
would you agree with that?
It has to be 30 times. It has to be 30 times, like, when you win a championship.
Depends on how you
tell me. What emotion was more?
Yeah.
When the guy hit the home, when Alonso hit the home run, or
Bauer
hit the home run. I guarantee it's Alonso.
I don't know,
man. The emotion was more when the home runs were hit, because when the Alonso home run was hit, there was still a chance.
Yeah,
in
there
the
was
bottom
still
of the inning.
Yeah,
Churio was coming up still. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Then Terang hit into the double play.
I guarantee you're like, that was a dagger right through my heart.
It totally was.
Oh,
but 100%. That's what being a fan is. Isn't that what being alive is? Like, isn't that why we love sports? Like, when you play the video game, do you just set it at the level where you can, like, win it every time? Like, that's not fun. Like, working for something and achieving something and going through all the pain, that's the beauty of what sports is.
Craig, you said it before. I mean, being pain is what being a sports fan is about. I mean, one team can win it out of a 30-team league or 32-team league if we're talking about football. And yet, look at Cleveland. Look at Browns fans come back every single year.
Yeah, but guys, Chewy.
Chewy,
is...
what about you growing up as a Red Sox fan and like every
Bucky
kid in Massachusetts?
Dent. Yeah.
It had been since 1916 or whatever year and generations. But that losing, and that's what bonds us as a community and as a sports fan, right? Like the Red Sox
think
fans
about...
are worse now that they won a championship.
Yeah, but again, guys, like, Chewy is front running Jesse.
This is what it's about.
Okay?
Yes.
If you're
a front runner,
you intentionally select the teams that are doing well to avoid the heartache of losing, right?
But,
like,
it was, it's, but think you know about what's crazy? You know, this is crazy, Gabe, because I remember winning the Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Yeah.
We kind of knew we were going to win. But after the game, I was pissed at Brett. I'm like, why'd you shave your goatee? The deal was that we keep them all through the game, and you shaved yours before. We lose to Denver. I will never forget sitting in a locker crying with Free. Even as a player, you're like, how in the hell are you 12-point favorites and you lose the biggest game of your life? How?
It's not the biggest game of your life. The biggest game of your life was Super Bowl 31. And at some point, you'll have enough therapy to realize, or maybe one therapy session, to realize that Super Bowl 31 actually was the biggest game of your life. Super Bowl 32 could have been,
you know what, guys,
but it turned out it wasn't.
Now that he said that, though, Craig, the fact that he has been through that agony, I understand a little bit more, right? I wasn't even thinking of Chewy having sat in a locker room with tears running down his cheeks after losing the Super Bowl and how that might affect his personal perception of chasing a championship. And if that was if that was as agonizing as Chewy is sort of making it out to be, I understand the human defense mechanism that is, no. Don't invest too much because we don't want to feel that again.
Yes.
But look at Belichick and Brady and Robert Kraft. They're all like still taking shots at each other in the media. And like, they're all, well, who gets more credit? And, you know, did Belichick, I mean, literally 2 weeks ago, they were fighting about, did Robert Kraft take more of a chance on hiring Belichick, or did Belichick, based on the reputation in the league, take more of a chance on Kraft? Like, even when you win, you can make it painful. So I think as fans and as people, we have a choice. And the beauty is, like, this is the fun. And so this is why we should feel all the pain and feel all the joy, because that is what's awesome about being a fan. That is what's awesome. Like, Chewy, the reason you felt that pain and cried that way is because you put so much work into it.
You're right.
All the workouts, all of the everything. Like, that's like, I mean, I'm going to get deep here, but that's a life worth lived. Right? Like putting so much into something that you can feel that much pain. Like, that's what we aspire to be.
Yeah, you're right. Why are you laughing at me?
No, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing at how this conversation got here. Like, we started talking about the Brewers, and now we're getting life lessons from Craig Carmison. It's great.
I think I might be Mel Robbins right now. Does anyone know who Mel Robbins is? I think I may have become her somehow.
No, Mel would say, let them. Mel would say, if Chewy doesn't want to be completely invested, you have to let him not be completely invested. Chef Ed wants us to ask you very quickly before we let you go, what do you think of all of this talk about the team winning it all for Euchre?
I love it, but like, it's not like that wasn't the talk last year or the year before or the year before. Like, and you know,
feels
it
like it might
amazing.
Have gotten ratcheted up a level.
Well, I mean, I think with him alive, I would ratchet it up a little bit, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, everyone has their different feelings of like of mortality and of like what where people go after death. But I don't think when I don't know when Durbin's at the plate, he's thinking like, all right, I got to hit it to the right side to advance the runner to third because Bob Uecker. Like I think it would be awesome, and I think Yelly and there's like such a cool, sweet connection, and people would feel that way. But like, I think there's a lot of things they're playing for, and I don't think like the Bob Uecker is the reason they win or lose games. But I love the connection, and obviously we have such a deep connection, you know, and we're fortunate to be around Uke in the way we were. So it's awesome, and it's unlike anything else that exists around baseball. So it's cool, but I don't know that it's like any different than last year, in my opinion.
Greg, we got to let you go. Great chatting with you this morning. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Chewy, what? I have a phone number, betterhelp.com /Adam. /Jen. Jen, you have a code, right? You can get Chewy hookup.
I have a guy. /Adam. I have a guy. His name is...
Adam's on our team, too, so, you know.
I have the blammer. He helps me. Every week.
It's not all medicinal.
It's a slow burn, though, is what it is. It's not an instantaneous fix. It's not a quick fix.
All right, have a great weekend. Thanks, everybody.
He's Craig Karmazin. Of course, we chat with him every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Gabe?
Hey, sports fans, it is that time of year. Fantasy football is right around the corner. August 20th, fantasy football draft back as ESPN Wisconsin takes over the Potawatomi Sportsbook for another exclusive event. You can call our station right now to join the Fantasy League, go head-to-head with us. Josh is going to be running our team. We're going to have some input, I guess, if he allows us to have input, as you draft your championship team. We're talking free food, great prizes, full VIP experience, all for fans 21 and up. All right, we've got four spots we have to give away today. Four spots. So we're going to make it easy for Will. 4, 6, 8, and 10. Callers 4, 6, 8, and 10, 800-990-3776. You get the last four spots into the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Fantasy Football Draft at Potawatomi, August 20th.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
Hey, Milwaukee Brewers fans. If you want to hit up Potawatomi Sportsbook before a home game, but you need a ride to the game, hit two balls with one bat by hitching a ride on the Potawatomi Game Day Shuttle. That's right. They are offering a shuttle from Potawatomi to the baseball field. Shuttles begin approximately 1 hour before first pitch. Return shuttles run nonstop for 1 hour after the game. For more information, visit Potawatomi.com. That's Potawatomi.com. Bet above the rest. We asked Craig Karmazin the question we will pose to our loyal listeners this morning as well. Would you give up 5 years of the Packers making the playoffs for the Brewers to win the World Series this season? Brewers have already done a lot of the work. Best record in baseball and whatnot. Obviously, they begin a series against the Mets at AmFam tonight. Would you be willing, as a Wisconsin sports fan, to cash in Packers playoff appearances for the Brewers in order to win a World Series this season? Want to have that conversation when we come back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.